for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 312 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Richard Rivera, the creator of Stabbity Bunny, who's got a lot of interesting news to talk about that formerly independent comic that's now been picked up by Scout. There are great things happening, including the recent release of issue number 1 in local stores across the nation and probably across the world. We talk about what we can expect in the near future as well as how we got to this place. We talk about other things that are coming up, including a possible trade and more Stabbity Bunny issues in the future, as well as other great things he's going to tell us about. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. It's always great to talk with Richard Rivera, the creator of Stabbity Bunny. And there's a lot of good things going on in the Stabbity universe these days. How are you doing, Richard?
Fantastic, Wayne. Great to be here.
I have to say, of course, full disclosure, that I serve as editor on this comic, so I may be a little biased about this book, but I still think it's a terrific title. Why don't you tell people, just in case somebody hasn't heard the talks we've had in the past, what Stabbity Bunny is about?
Well, the quick pitch would be Stabbity Bunny could take place at the intersection of Nightmare on Elm Street and Sesame Street, where a 7-year-old little girl and her 100-year-old plush bunny must battle evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is 6 issues you have made so far. And there's good news happening. Of course, the last time you and I talked, Scout Comics had just picked up Stabbity Bunny. What's happened since then?
Well, since then, the Bunny Brigade has come together and got the word out. And we've done mailings and emails and store visits and sent posters and did what we could do to let the retailers know that the book was coming out. It just did this Wednesday. But we ended up with, you know, a really great response. We couldn't have been happier. And so, you know, issue 1 hit the ground running. And since then, we've had, you know, a lot of amazing things happen. We can kind of, and rather than me kind of just hit a bullet point list, we can hit some of those as we go, though.
Okay.
And, of course, Wednesday the book came out. And a lot of stores, Midtown and Things from Another World, etc., the book sold out the Wednesday before when they posted it as being available. So we've sold out all over. Now, even the Scout Warehouse, as of right now, Friday, is sold out as well.
Mm, wow. Did you ever expect that that might happen?
Well, no. I don't think you can ever really expect that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be a little part of you that dreams of it being possible, you know, that hopes that'll happen. And, you know, I don't think it would have happened except for all the friends and family and everybody that pulled together. I mean, I had friends that were going to comic stores, and they had some of my posters that the 11x17s I made to advertise the number 1. And they would walk in to put one in a store, you know, several cities away, like 3 hours away. And there was already a poster there. Oh, yeah, somebody already came in and gave us one of those. Yeah, we know about Stabbity Bunny. So, you know, it was a lot of people helping. I don't think any one person could have done this.
It's kind of interesting to me because, as Brendan, the head of Scout Comics, said, this has now become the biggest selling number 1 that Scout has ever had.
Yes. We're also amazed by that. I mean, you know, pleasantly so, of course. But we couldn't have expected that. And, you know, really glad that we had the opportunity to be, you know, part of the Scout lineup, and to have this happen is great.
Mm-hmm. And you and I have gone to conventions together. We've been to many of them, including the big one. I think that the most recent one was New York, where many wonderful things happened at the New York Comic Con. But, you know, talk about what you think maybe going to conventions did for Stabby Bunny as a comic. Do you think that the fan base built around that, that they got a chance to see it? And, of course, the name Stabby Bunny attracts people, as well as the image of the little bunny sitting on a smiley face that comes out of blood. How did that convention backup kind of work as far as Stabby Bunny did?
Well, you know, we've been going to conventions pretty much nonstop for about 3 years. Worked on the book for years before that, getting it created, getting all the stories together, etc. Then in late 2014, December, I believe, added the artist Dwayne Biddix to the team. Shortly thereafter, added Liesl Buenaventura. And a little bit after that, James Reed, and that's our letterer, and Liesl is our color artist, and of course, this guy named Wayne, who's our editor, and we were really happy with the team. Everybody added something to the vision and brought the book together, and it was just that much better every time we saw it. The book had several births, of course. It's like, When you first get the stories finished and you've got all the characters where you want them and you've got the everything laid out, that's one. And then seeing some character sketches by Dwayne, that was another one. And then seeing the first black and white pages, and then seeing the color pages. And then, you know, you cannot underestimate the lettering. That is what pulls it all together. You see the lettering, and then it's a comic book page. Couldn't believe it, you know? Mm-hmm. I've been writing stuff for decades and putting it away, and you know, Stabby Bunny was just, I guess, it's a passion project and one I wanted to make sure got out there. And you know, through inspiration of friends and loved ones, decided to take a stab at it, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we did. Mm-hmm. And but I'll say the conventions, it can be hard. I mean, I've driven 23 hours nonstop. I've driven like 16 or 17 and then just made it in time to set up for the convention and then worked it all day. And, you know, you were there too. So, you know, but you get a lot of energy from the fans and from the people that are curious. And, it's always just the most satisfying thing is getting the story out there. And especially after that first year, returning to cities and having people come up and, you know, ask you, what do you have new? Any new issues of Stabity? And you know, I was, you know, blessed with the ability to, with my schedule, etc., you know, devote a lot of time, and so I know that a lot of independent creators out there are struggling. They're trying everything they can, but you know, real life gets in the way. And I was lucky enough that real life allowed me to consistently produce new issues. So it's an obligation I don't take lightly. And as I have promised many a time on the convention trail, no matter what happens, those first 12 issues will be out there. I hate it when a TV show or a comic book leaves you hanging. I know that's just the reality of those businesses, but in whatever form it takes, you know, that first arc, I committed a long time ago to making sure that happened. And we've been, you know, very happy with that. Now, I will say the last trip to New York was just amazing. We had, we weren't on the main aisle. We, you know, we were a couple of tables back, etc. But somehow, I don't know how, but the Stabity Bunny banner got up on a few boxes there and kind of rose above and could be visible from far away. And, you know, the name and Dwayne Biddix's incredible art grab attention, and we just did phenomenally well. And I tell you too, another great thing to come about from that. We can't put, you know, an exact time on it or anything else, but I believe that's where the Brain Trust first really became aware of the bunny. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Brain Trust, they're going to do an absolutely stellar collection of covers for each issue of the first six issue arc. And they are fantastic. The first one, well, we had a short run first one that Dwayne Biddix himself contributed, and that was basically, you know, a knife, and there's blood splattered around, and you see the bunny's reflection in the knife. And then one of their first ones is by Mr. Garza, and he has done a fantastic job with doing a Amazing Spider-Man 300 homage, and that was fantastic. And then we had, for issue two, we've got Donnie Darko by Ryan Kincaid, and just another amazing, amazing thing. Now, I want to do a shout-out, too, to Richard Ems of Scout Comics, because he is the one that did the final graphics and the dressing up of those covers. He did a phenomenal job. We've got some really great ones coming, and you know, check out stabbitybunny.com. Check out Facebook. Facebook is probably what I use the most, and especially now, I'm on Facebook pretty much constantly, unless I am unconscious. So updates and things that happen are going to be there on Facebook, and again, there are some really great things coming. And I'll quit rambling. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, who is the Brain Trust, just so people know?
Well, the Brain Trust just wants to be known as that, so that kind of closes that.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, it's a group of people that support comics on different levels. And one of the things that ties into something you're talking about the covers for one and two. The cover for three has come out, and there's something really interesting happened with the cover for three.
I'm glad you asked about that, because, yeah, we had a fantastic cover. It was based on New Mutants 19, with the big, everybody knows this cover, with the demon bear on it and all of them rushing towards it, all the New Mutants. But Danny Kidwell did a fantastic job on that. Mm-hmm. And then with an assist from Jeremy Scott Browning, he came in and, you know, added his flavor to it as well. And it just resulted in a fantastic cover. And I am paraphrasing right now because I cannot remember it exactly. But after a couple of comments, Mr. Sienkiewicz said, "If you can't get behind Stabbity Bunny, then you're just dead inside."
Yeah.
So that pretty much made my decade. But, you know, such a brilliant artist, and from everything I've seen or heard, a great guy. So, you know, that's something special to hear, something like that. So we're very pleased.
You've gotten a lot of reaction like that. I mean, from out of the blue, these things, and especially now that the comic is out, as we're recording it now, the issue is available, or at least it was available in stores on Wednesday. There's a lot of stores that have already sold out of it. But the interesting thing has been reaction, and you're getting to see some of that on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. What's been your sense of the reaction? How have you been, you know, responding to that?
Well, a lot of people are taking the time to be very supportive and positive about the book, and I couldn't appreciate that more. It's fantastic. I hope that the story continues to please everyone, and that we can look forward to some new material soon as well.
Because the first six issues are basically in the can, because you were doing that initially self-published. So now you've got other issues coming too, and you already said that you want to make sure that the first 12 issues at least come out with that. So that's pretty good. Now, how are things going to work with that? You know, you're going to have to be juggling several things at the same time. Obviously, you got to get these issues out through Scout, and then you got to be working on future issues. How are you going to work with that? Are you just going to have to, you're going to continue to work with Dwayne, obviously, and Liesl and James and get those things going. How are you going to, is that going to take up a lot of time to be able to juggle all that? Or since you've got the first six issues in the can, is that going to make things easier for you?
Well, yeah, having a head start is always a good thing. But of course, issue one just came out and I had to earlier this week, I had to send Diamond the covers for the photo, the covers and the synopsis for issue 5.
Wow.
So, I'm going to be going to London. We'll talk about that a little bit, but mm-hmm. I'm going to be leaving January 25th and returning, I think, February 11th. But as a result, I'm going to need to, before I leave, send the covers for issue 6 and the synopsis for issue 6. Mm. But right after that, something to look forward to, everybody, we're going to have the Scout trade paperback. Mm. And that's going to be lovely because we also will include all of those variant covers and things in the back. So it's going to be quite the book. Not only do you get the, well, we know, 168 pages mm-hmm. of story, mm-hmm. but you're also going to get artwork and probably some process pieces, and it's going to be a really great book. I mean, I definitely will have one, personally for my shelf mm-hmm. because just having, the book, the covers that people have contributed and everything to the series is going to be fantastic. So now, as far as the London trip is concerned, mm-hmm. two big things, mm-hmm. maybe more before we get there, but mm-hmm. two big things right now, mm-hmm. which is on February 3rd, I believe later in the afternoon right now, it hasn't, to my knowledge right now, been solidified. I think it's 4 to 6, but we will be doing a signing at the Forbidden Planet, London's premier comic book store and, pop culture cult distributor there. Mm-hmm. So we're super happy about that. Mm. Could not be more honored. And then mm-hmm. on February 4th, that Sunday, we are going to, Mr. Feeney is going to add us to the Leek Street Tunnel, which is a 200-meter official graffiti art tunnel in London. It's one of their tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. And Stabbity Bunny will be added to that. Mm-hmm. And to tie everything back again, the basis for that is going to be Ryan Kincaid's Donnie Darko homage with Stabbity. Hmm. So it's just going to be so terrific for so many people. We're so honored and thankful. Thank you, Mr. Feeney, and thank you, Richard Ims, and everybody that's involved over there. We couldn't be more grateful.
Are we going to be able to see pictures of that? I mean, is that kind of stuff? Is the art in there? Is that made available to the public? I mean, or do people need to pretty much go down there and take pictures and put it out on social media?
Oh yeah, well there'll be pictures. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get some street art photographers there to mm-hmm. really, have some that pop, some that are, professionally taken. We will see, but I'm hopeful on that. And also, while we're there, we're going to be giving away some commemorative cards for free, and we've got some other stuff. So, again, check Facebook. To a certain extent, check Twitter. I'm still trying to engage in as much social media as I can, but Facebook is kind of my old man comfortable go-to.
So a lot of that. And, of course, you get the website, too, stabbitybunny.com. There's information out there as well.
Yes. Now, soon after London, we come back, and without going into a lot of detail, because a lot of the details are still up in the air, but we will be doing signings at Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City on February 16th, 17th, and 18th. Again, there's a lot of details still being worked out, so I don't want to speculate or throw in things that we might have talked about, because nothing's completely set in stone, except I will be there, I will be signing, and the artists to the Amazing Spider-Man, Mr. Garza, will be there, mm-hmm. as well as Mr. Kincaid. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity maybe to pick up those covers mm-hmm. and get them signed. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing a signing for sure at the CBCS booth. Okay. And when we do that, people can, obviously get it in one-stop shop there, get the autographs officially witnessed, and slab it up if you'd like.
Okay, great. So that'll be a good thing to look for. Now, you haven't been to Planet the Comic-Con yet, so this will be the first time.
Right, yeah. That's the first time there, and hoping to make a number of firsts this year. Mm-hmm. On a few other conventions we really would love to attend, but we'll see what's possible. Most of the time by this year, I already have paid for a number of tables, and I kind of know what everything is, and it's all mapped out. Mm-hmm. Kind of winging it this year, but it seems to be working for us, so mm-hmm. we're going to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a signing. We should talk a little bit about the ones, but when this podcast hits on Sunday, there'll be several that you've already have completed. On Wednesday, it first came out, you were at Crumb's World in Winter Garden, which has been a very strong supporter of Stabbity Bunny. How did that signing go?
Oh, it was fantastic. Diana and Kim Crummel are, you know, they've been behind the book since day one. Mm-hmm. I brought the book in. Well, first I asked if I could put it on her shelf, and she was very kind. She's like, sure, we can put a couple up. And then I went out to the van there and brought in some of the books, and she was like, whoa, yeah, let's get some of these going. This is great. And she was a believer, you know, love at first sight, mm-hmm. and she's been a constant supporter, so we were very happy to do that on the premiere of the Scout publication, the January 10th. Mm-hmm. And there are certain fans there that always come to that store, mm-hmm. and it's always nice to catch up with them, and they're just so loving and helpful. I mean, one lady was as I was signing things, she was scooting the cards off or taking it away so I could do the next, and mm-hmm. you know, just whatever they could do. I really appreciate them, and any fan of the book, it's fantastic. We had now we haven't done this yet, but it will be happening by the time this podcast goes. We will have been at Emerald City on Saturday.
Right.
Along with a couple of other Scout creators. We've got Jim Pruitt of Mindbender and James Hake of Solar Flare will mm-hmm. be there. Mm-hmm. And then we will be going to Uncanny Heroes in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Now, they will have, I believe, you know, they're not responsible for what I remember here, mm-hmm. but I believe they will have an actual CGC there. And CGC will be... they'll be able to obviously witness the autographs and mm-hmm. slab them up, you know, mm-hmm. or at least get them into their queue for slabbing in the future. Mm-hmm. And then the following week, mm-hmm. which will be after this broadcast, mm-hmm. On Wednesday, we will be at Acme. Mm-hmm. And then that coming Saturday, mm-hmm. very excited to be going to Yancey Street, mm-hmm. the Port Richey. Mm-hmm. Location.
Right.
So, you know, just a lot of great things.
Yeah, just the great thing about it is, of course, is that signings give you a chance to interact with the fans a little more. If you're at the convention there, like at New York or something, where there's just mobs of people going by, it's kind of hard to spend a lot of time with anybody. But the great thing about these different signings is you get to meet different fans, you get to spend time, get to know them, get their reaction to it. And I'm sure you enjoy that, especially all the time that you've invested in this book.
Oh, yeah. I mean... anybody that is happy to spend some time talking about the story and the characters and, you know, just the adventure we've had in real life along the way, mm-hmm. more than happy to, you know, answer questions or share whatever insights I can muster.
Because mm-hmm. I like the whole story, but I like the family, and we've often talked about the fact that it's a very strong female-oriented story in the sense that you've got the mother, and then of course you've got Grace, who's one of the main characters, and the grandmother, and so you've got all these very strong females involved, and sometimes I wish there were more of that in the comics, so I'm glad that you're getting to do that. You're getting to bring in some very strong women in the books that maybe female readers can really relate to.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I think, I do my best to do them justice. And we've got a lot of characters. I mean, the cast is huge, but hopefully they are somewhat relatable and on the good guys' side. You know, hopefully they represent their side very well, I think. Mm-hmm. And we've got, there's more... you know, females in the background there. We've got Harmony, who is the, she's the wife of Rondo, and they're a super loving couple. Kind of like This Is Us on steroids. Of course, they were written 5 years ago, but, you know, they're just, they are very reasonable, relatable, lovable. And one little quirk about Harmony is that she keeps her head shaved, so, or, you know, sometimes very short hair, but she wears a different wig every day. She's got a huge collection of wigs. And I don't know why I went off on that tangent, but I did. So there you go.
Well, it's the variety of characters. And you've often talked about the fact that the nice thing about this, about Harmony, Vermont, is the fact that they're good people and they don't necessarily have to corrupt themselves in order to battle evil. They can actually be who they are and accomplish good things.
Right. I don't want good people having to compromise. I know that everybody's got, you know, the stories they build. There's so many entertaining stories out there that take so many approaches. And I just wanted to slant my universe a little bit more towards the good people finding a way to overcome while still, you know, being true to themselves.
Which is great. And, of course, the bunny itself is a cause of a lot of speculation because it's called Stabbity. A lot of people think that it goes around doing stabbing. But I always like to point out in the first issue, well, he's not the one doing the stabbing, shall we say. And we won't believe it at that. So I always like the fact that there's a mystery about that character. And a lot of things get involved and revealed when we get into the sixth issue, which isn't far off now. It's interesting to see because now that everything's caught up, it's going to come out monthly, as I understand it. And by June, everybody will be caught up onto all the Stabbity that's been made and published so far. Are you looking forward to that date? Is it going to be fun when people actually are caught up with those of us who have discovered Stabbity ahead of time?
Oh, sure. Then everybody will be on the same page. And then it's time for a super sweet collection of the issues from Scout, along with, you know, all of the variant covers and everything, which is just going to be a stunning collection of artwork. I know some of the stuff that's coming in the future here that we aren't going to talk about yet, but some of these covers are going to be landmark covers.
It's going to be fun because what I've seen so far, and there's a lot of stuff. We should talk a little bit about the fact that on eBay, the last time I looked at eBay a couple of minutes ago, there were 66 entries of people selling Stabbity Bunny issues or stuff. And I'm just fascinated that it seems to go on and people are getting pretty good amounts of money for it. I mean, how does that make you feel to see your creation up there and people actually selling it on eBay like that?
Well, it's a lot better than not seeing it on eBay, I guess. But, the self-published issues in particular are, you know, they're hard to get. And, I mean, there's a lot of them that I don't have because, you know, I would set some aside for my personal collection and then they'd be in a box and I would go to a convention and someone would be like, oh, do you have anything new, you know, new? And I'm like, oh, just a couple of, oh, here you go. And I would sell, I sold, you know, my own copies a lot of the times too. But it was much more important that a reader be up to date on the story than I have a back issue of my story. So it was, you know, always a pleasure to hand a reader a new issue. And just very happy that I had a lot of readers that wanted them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been an interesting experience to see some of those prices. We got I think the last time I looked, somebody had a collection of 1 through 5, and it was at $510 with lots of bids. I mean, that wasn't the asking price. The seller had started it, I think, at $50, and we still have like, I don't know. I was looking, and we have like lots of different people with auctions, and I've seen the number one convention variant sell for hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
And, you know, that's great. And then also people are selling the current issue already for $12.99. And there was one person that has already sold 38 of them for $12.99. You know, something that I'm not sure exactly how I can, how to react, but it's amazing.
Well, we had the opportunity the other day to go to the Scout Warehouse down in Fort Myers, and James Hake of Solar Flare fame was one of the folks who works on that. And we were down there helping him send out some orders that had come in through the website, which was a lot. And you said something that really stuck to me, and I thought maybe you'd want to elaborate a little on it, was the fact that, yes, you're happy to get these large orders, but also sometimes they were just an order for one issue. What did you think about seeing the smaller orders?
Oh, it was great. I mean, if you've got somebody, you know, there's one or two issues, maybe one to read and one to put away, or I love big orders. I love small orders. I find that I personally just made the assumption that somebody ordered one, they were getting it because they wanted to read the book, and it was, you know, it sometimes it takes about the same amount of effort to wrap one or to wrap 10, but you know, they are all equally dear to me. I mean, sending out that single issue to somebody who's going to be able to read the story was very pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Well, even since the book's been out, you've been getting requests from folks and been sending stuff out to individuals as well, too. So I think your interaction with the fans is really great. I wish more creators could do the kinds of things that you're doing because, you know, the important thing is the fans and their interest in the title. And I think you do a great job of interacting with not only the stores, but them as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, the stores are terrific. The stores are the places that do the work that I was doing when I was at the conventions. And there's like all these little, you know, pockets of retail helping get the bunny out there. But, you know, it's the individuals that buy the issues that make this keep going. If people weren't expressing interest, you know, most stores don't have a lot of capital floating around, and they've got to decide which books they're going to get based on kind of gambling and hoping that they'll sell. So, again, I'm very grateful to all the stores that took that gamble on Stabbity Bunny, and I'm glad that it paid off for them.
Now, of course, the first book came out on the 10th, the second Wednesday of the month. Based on that, do you pretty much figure that the issues in the next couple of months are all going to come out about the second week, do you figure?
I would guess so. I'm hoping that is the plan, but, you know, reality and schedules and things sometimes get in the way, but we can go with that assumption. Of course, Diamond Catalog always puts the end of the month as the release date, and then you find out a week or two before it's out what the actual release date will be. But again, check StabbityBunny.com, check Stabbity Bunny on Facebook, check ScoutComics.com, check Scout Comics on Facebook, and, you know, we'll have the updates for you.
And there's even a possibility of digital versions of this coming out before long, too, which we're working on behind the scenes. So Stabbity Bunny is here to stay. And the great thing is the next several months, I think the people are going to get to see the story that you've been anxious to get out and get told. I think we're going to get to see that take place.
Yes, and the excitement the team has been incredible. Again, huge, huge thank you to Dwayne Biddix, who turned his talents to getting this artwork done, and Liesl Buenaventura, her color and the extra emotional depth and atmosphere she adds, and to James Reed as well. You know, he's the one that gives them voices and gives the special effects sounds and makes sure it all looks pretty and that it flows well. So got that. And then, you know, we have some guy named Wayne who makes sure that we're going to eat a meal with Grandpa and not eat Grandpa.
That's right. That's right. The old story. There's a difference between let's eat, comma, Grandpa, and let's eat Grandpa. There's a big difference there, which I always like to point out. Well, Rick, you're doing wonderful stuff. We'll have to talk again after you get back from London and see how it's being received over there. But, man, I'm so glad Stabbity Bunny has taken off and is doing great stuff. And I'm looking forward to more success in the future.
Well, thank you very much, Wayne. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, just keep doing what you do because you have a fantastic podcast.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Please be back next time when I'll be speaking with another great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.